You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Well, as I speak, the Senate Judiciary Committee continues with Judge Kenche Brown Jackson, Biden's nominee to be on the Supreme Court, being questioned about the role of critical race theory, social justice in schools. She serves on the board of a school that promotes critical race theory. She's also declared Roe is settled law on the right to abortion, period. And she also denied allegations from Senator Hawley, or at least raising questions of that she's been lenient on child porn and child molesters. We're going to get in that in more detail in the next segment. Oh, and then this story. This is one you say, what? She was being questioned by Senator Cornyn of Texas about the Dred Scott decision. The Dred Scott decision. And she declared, I don't quite remember the basis for the Dred Scott decision of 1857. See, I think it all involved the 14th Amendment, things like the right to rear one's children. I believe the right to travel, the right to marriage, interracial marriage, the right to abortion, contraception. And Judge Cornyn, I mean, not Judge, but Senator Cornyn interrupted and said, treating slaves as property. I don't quite remember, she said, the basis for Dred Scott, but I trust you. And the senator said, the fact is, that's what it was. Black woman they wanted, they got, and apparently she doesn't know about the Dred Scott decision enough to answer a question. In Ukraine, a U.S. senior defense official said, we're seeing clearly the Russians have deliberately and intentionally targeted civilian infrastructures, hospitals, places of shelter, and there's talk that chemical and biological weapons might still be used, but no evidence so far. At least 925 civilians have been documented as killed. That's according to the UN. Putin has taken some Russian spies he sent in to scout Ukraine before the invasion and during, and maybe to go after Zelensky. He has apparently placed all of them under house arrest. In other words, he has a lot of distrust in his own spies, which suggests maybe he's getting a little shaky in office as to who do I trust in this office. And there's a report that Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is considering deploying additional American troops to NATO's eastern flank in Europe. Not saying they're going into Ukraine, but maybe into Poland, help with refugees. And Ukraine Natural Resources is reporting that wildfires in the area of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, which is under the control of Russian forces, have been extinguished, but there's still the concern about possible release of radiation. A Russian tabloid paper that published a report citing the Russian Defense Ministry is saying that nearly 10,000 Moscow soldiers have been killed in Ukraine, has now been hacked. Yep, they're going to shut down anything that might be near the truth. That's state-controlled media for you. Gas prices in L.A., a record high. The first major city in L.A. to reach an average of $6 for a gallon. That's the average. And by the way, back to Ukraine issue briefly. An estimated 14,000 Russians have fled to Turkey since the invasion of Ukraine. They want to get out of Russia. They fear what's going to be coming. Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security is pleading with other federal employees, we need more volunteers to help patrol the U.S.-Mexico border. They've done that once before. Now they're doing it again because they continue streaming across. Oh, and then you got this story. A California parent outraged. She saw video of her daughter and other preschool students chanting in class regarding politics. Who's our president? The teacher asked. And the students answered, Biden. Teacher asked, what do we want to do with him? The students responded twice, we want him out. Now, if the teacher had said, what do we want to do with Donald Trump? Yeah, that would be okay. And this is in California.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
She'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're what deep in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
These are some of the most difficult cases that a judge has to deal with, because we're talking about pictures of sex abuse of children. We're talking about graphic descriptions that judges have to read and consider when they decide how to sentence in these cases. And there's a statute that tells judges what they're supposed to do. Congress has decided what it is that a judge has to do in this and any other case when they sentence. And that statute doesn't say, look only at the guidelines and stop. The statute doesn't say, impose the highest possible penalty for this sickening and egregious crime. The statute says, calculate the guidelines, but also look at various aspects of this offense and impose a sentence that is, quote, sufficient but not greater than necessary to promote the purposes of punishment.
Wow. That's legalese talk. That's blah, 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 blah. There you have Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson explaining why she issued minimum sentences, even below recommended prosecutor sentences, for various sex offenders, and that includes those watching, collecting, maybe distributing child porn. And part of her argument comes down to the guidelines. She said they're created by statute, but they're not binding, and they're leading to extreme disparities in the system. There you go. There you have it. That's it. Anything we can consider a disparity must be bad, especially for minorities. Well, we're not talking about if it's minorities doing something. We're talking about anybody collecting and viewing and sharing child pornography. Child pornography may be something like a child in a bathtub naked. I will tell you, there were times that you took pictures probably of your children or grandchildren, or you take pictures were taken of you, and at that time you had to take it to a video processor somewhere and get it developed, and they would see it, and nobody really thought anything about it. But now if that happens, well, then photographer places where you would take any video, or if you're going to do that same way, then they're going to be calling police, saying, you need to check this. It's my grandchild. I didn't mean anything. But, well, there are cases of incest involving grandparents and children and parents and children or brothers and so forth and so on. But the point being, you're just going to take a more lenient attitude, especially when they have not just a few, and by a few, let's say a dozen, 20, let's say two dozen, but they have hundreds, hundreds, and not just children naked, but having sex with adults or other children, or attempting to. All that falls under child pornography. But justice, or judge, I should say, she's not a justice yet. Judge Jackson saying, well, part of this gets into the guidelines were originally based on volume of material, a metric that no longer takes into account technology advances. In other words, now with the internet, oh my God, you can be flooded. It's like opening a fire hose as opposed to turning on a sprinkler. If you're looking for it, you're going to find it, and you ought to fill up your computer because that's probably what you wanted anyway. And the sentences she has handed down on some of them. Well, that was part of the issue that Missouri Senator Hawley said, we're going to need some answers on her record.
If you look at her record, what you see is this is someone who has consistently let sex predators, child sex predators, off the hook. For people who have been convicted of child porn offenses, she's consistently given them lenient sentences, slaps on the wrist. This is someone who has raised the question whether sex offender registries are unconstitutional, whether notifying parents when there's a sex offender in the area is unconstitutional. She suggested all of that. I mean, this is very troubling. We need to get the answers.
And they're in the process of doing it. She is in the first of expected 4 days of hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Of course, it's equally divided. You got a committee chair, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, who has pointed out that Hawley doesn't know what he's talking about, and Hawley has no credibility. As Durbin, and I played that soundbite for you yesterday, says the New York Post is, not New York, New York Times is, and CNN have verified that Hawley's wrong. Oh, yeah, yeah, I trust those two. They also had credibility. And then among the other senators you've got on there who are Democrats, Blumenthal, Booker, Padilla, Feinstein, Leahy, Klobuchar. The ranking Republican is Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Senator Graham is on. Senator Cornyn, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Ben Sasse, Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton, John Kennedy, Louisiana, Marshall Blackburn, Tennessee. But Judge Kenji Brown Jackson, talking about the statements and accusations made by Republican Josh Hawley that it shows her to be very lenient on sex abusers and crimes like that, her response is, as a mother and a judge who's had to deal with these cases, I was thinking that nothing could be further from the truth. Well, let's hear more direct from her.
In every case, when I am dealing with something like this, it is important to me to make sure that the children's perspective, the children's voices are represented in my sentencing. And what that means is that for every defendant who comes before me and who suggests, as they often do, that they're just a looker, that these crimes don't really matter, they've collected these things on the internet and it's fine, I tell them about the victim statements that have come in to me as a judge. I tell them about the adults who were former child sex abuse victims who tell me that they will never have a normal adult relationship because of this abuse. I tell them about the ones who say, I went into prostitution, I fell into drugs because I was trying to suppress the hurt that was done to me as an infant.
All of that is well and good. If she does that, I'm glad she does. But again, she's just trying to treat the fact that they were collecting pictures, videos of underage children, I should say just children, those under the age of consensual sex, are willing to take part in such a video, that she's still treating it as if, well, these folks are just collecting. They didn't really mean to anything. All they're doing is collecting. Does that not give an excuse to go ahead and do it? And then, oh, well, I did send one to this friend and maybe another friend. And, oh, maybe somebody gave me some money for one because they, where does it stop? Well, she gives another case that she wanted to emphasize that she thought, again, emphasized her empathy for the children victimized by this. And at the same time, show how tough she is.
And the one that was the most telling to me that I describe at almost every one of these sentencings, when I look in the eyes of a defendant who is weeping because I'm giving him a significant sentence, what I say to him is, do you know that there is someone who has written to me and who has told me that she has developed agoraphobia? She cannot leave her house because she thinks that everyone she meets will have seen her, will have seen her pictures on the internet. They're out there forever. At the most vulnerable time of her life, and so she's paralyzed. I tell that story to every child porn defendant as a part of my sentencings so that they understand what they have done.
So they understand what they have done. But still, in cases cited by Senator Hawley, there are numerous cases where she did not even follow not just the federal guidelines, but recommendations of the prosecutor. She would give less time. And then we're talking about child porn, taking it off the internet. And she's basically kind of giving that a pass. She will lecture them on how bad it was for the children who were involved in it. And she will later say, and I'll let you hear from her directly, that they are in fact still contributing to more child porn because they are collecting it. But someone out there is taking the pictures. Someone out there is putting children into these situations. And other than a child, as she explained, that I tell those folks I'm going to sentence, there are children out there that even as adults have a hard time relating to other adults, and they have agoraphobia. They're afraid to go out of the house. Someone might recognize a picture that showed them nude when they were 6 or 7 years old, and they're grown women now. Our boys. First, I don't discount any trauma that follows a child into adulthood from being exposed to that, subjected to it, abused by it. I have no doubt much of that does happen. But do you think it's going to help by being lenient and saying, oh, well, we know you were just collecting. You didn't really take part in it, but you're basically creating a market for it. And that's just talking about child porn. Senator Hawley brought up an example of what Judge Jackson did regarding not a child porn collector, but a sex predator.
In United States versus Savage, the defendant was convicted of traveling across state lines to engage in sexual intercourse with a child and also possessed 6 separate thumb drives of child pornography. The guidelines recommended 46 to 57 months in prison. The prosecutor recommended 49 months in prison. Judge Jackson sentenced him to 37 months in prison.
Let me go through those numbers again, because I don't want you to miss that point. Because she wants you to believe I'm not lenient on child porn. Here is a convicted sex offender, a predator. An offender, not a collector of porn, but an offender. The district attorney recommended 49 years. By statute, the convicted predator could face 46 to 57. So the DA said, give him at least the minimum plus 3. But Judge Jackson, who's so concerned and saying, as a mother, I find it abhorrent. As a mother and a judge who has had to deal with these cases, she gave this convicted sex predator 37 years. 9 years less than the minimum established by the law, but she had that ability to do that at that point. 37 months in prison for sexually assaulting a child. I know. Take a deep breath. Calm down a little bit. But when we come back after the break, I want you to hear her again talking about how much she coaches and talks to the defendants and tries to make it a teaching lesson for them.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I say to them that there's only a market for this kind of material because there are lookers. That you are contributing to child sex abuse. And then I impose a significant sentence and all of the additional restraints that are available in the law. These people are looking at 20, 30, 40 years of supervision. They can't use their computers in a normal way for decades. I am imposing all of those constraints because I understand how significant, how damaging, how horrible this crime is.
That is again Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson defending her decision on some child porn cases to be more lenient than federal law would have required or even prosecutors requested. I tell them, you're the one out there creating this market. And they won't have access to computers for 20, 30, 40 years except under extreme supervision. Well, if they're locked away, you're probably going to make sure they're not going to have access to it. Otherwise, they probably will anyway. And she's admitting that they are contributing, and yet by lecturing them, and supposedly this will be your teaching point, as you go serve this sentence, keep in mind you contributed to child porn, even though you didn't directly take the pictures. So you're just going to let that go like that? I mean, is that acceptable? Senator Josh Hawley, who has challenged Judge Jackson's record on this point, says she's just inadvertently, even if she's not thinking she is, she's inadvertently adding to child porn herself.
I mean, the amount of child pornography in circulation has absolutely exploded in recent years. Here's a New York Times report from 2019. I'm quoting now. Last year, tech companies reported over 45 million online photos and videos of children being sexually abused, more than double what they found the previous year. The report goes on to say this: 20 years ago, these online images were a problem. 10 years ago, they were an epidemic. Now the crisis is at a breaking point. Unfortunately, it's even worse than that. Just last week, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children reported finding 85 million files of child pornography in 2021.
85 million files. Because there are collectors out there, like the ones that went before Judge Jackson, and she lectured them and then gave them a lighter sentence. So do you think that's going to encourage others? Well, you know, if I get caught, I can just say, I'm just collecting. Is justice being served? If she's that concerned about the children, don't even begin to bother lecturing them about collecting and you're adding to the problem. They know that. That's like the police officer that stops me and says, sir, I have you down as speeding. If I were speeding, which I might well have been doing, I'm not going to argue. I'll just say, yes, sir. He can lecture me about driving safer, but the fact is I was still speeding. Now, for that kind of crime, it is his discrimination, and not discrimination, but his discretion to either give me a ticket or a warning, whatever. But here we've got a convicted person of collecting child porn, or in the case I identified for you earlier, a convicted child molester. And she wants to teach them to be better. Her hearings are going to continue. We're going to have more on this, of course, tomorrow. One thing I do want to point out, she has been asked about accusations that why she was representing some Guantanamo Bay detainees. I'm going to have to stand with her on that. She said federal public defenders don't get to pick their clients, but it's also part of our Constitution. So I will say I'm not going to challenge that point. Coming up, how the left-wing agency grades media that botched the Hunter Biden laptop, and they think everything's all so good. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I need to clarify something. I was up against a hard break then, so I could not complete my statement that I wanted to. I was talking about Judge Jackson talking about why she defended Guantanamo Bay detainees and saying when you're a federal public defender, you don't get a chance to pick your clients. That's true. And then also I added that our Constitution allows you to have a defense. I know the other side of the line referenced Guantanamo Bay detainees, that they were captured on a battlefield operation possibly, so they don't get the same exact right, and they're not U.S. citizens. But I'm going to side on the line of the Constitution that everyone's entitled to defense, even if you don't like them. And when it comes to 9/11, some of those arrested after 9/11, I had to do the same thing. Do I endorse anything they did? Of course not. But they are entitled to defense, even if they're not U.S. citizens. if they're in hands of U.S. custody. Tristan Justice writes for The Federalist, also The Washington Examiner, The Daily Signal, been with us numerous times. You might have seen him on One America News Network and others. Tristan, glad to have you back on board with us.
Thank you for having me.
I was looking at a piece you wrote that a left-wing rating agency grading the media that botched the Biden story with 100% credibility. You're talking about NewsGuard, right? What is NewsGuard to begin with?
Well, NewsGuard is a news rating agency that essentially just rates different news outlets on credibility and accuracy based on a bunch of different criteria. And what was interesting about NewsGuard last week was after the New York Times, the paper of record, finally conceded the authenticity of the infamous Hunter Biden laptop, otherwise known as the laptop from hell, this news rating agency continues to rate the New York Times and all these other outlets that routinely smeared the laptop as Russian disinformation with 100% accuracy and credibility, while it continues to smear outlets like the Federalist and the New York Post, which got major stories right much in the last decade, with failing scores.
Well, even the Federalist only got 12 out of 100. I mean, you guys are really bad over there, aren't you? I mean, you're just a full propaganda machine.
Well, it just really illustrates the corruption of so many of our elites and what's.
Wait a minute. Let me add more to that. The Federalist is not intended. You have an intentional lane. The New York Times is supposed to be a news outlet, as some of these others we were hearing. They can do what they want inside. Same thing with CNN with their columns or their opinions and things of that nature. But as you said, they do not hold it to the scrutiny of being factual.
Well, there are different standards for different networks. I mean, these are outlets that continue to claim that they're objective and these you know, right, self-righteous crusaders for the truth, when in fact every decision that a journalist makes has a degree of bias within it. And at the Federalist, we're just honest about that. We are honest in that we write with a certain perspective and lens, and we admit the biases that seep into our writing. And so there are different standards here. I think what needs to happen is that I think this idea of objectivity, it just can't exist in the modern media environment, not in today's information world. And it was actually a relatively new news norm that came out of the mid-20th century, this idea of objectivity. We never really had an objective press going back to the founding of our country. Fake news was rampant in 1776.
Well, yeah, fake and are incomplete, things of that nature. I don't know if you're aware of my history, but I spent 40-plus years as a news anchor. No one knew my politics at all during that time, because that was not the job and role of a news anchor. I'm covering the stories. And people don't understand the difference sometimes. Your audience will call up and say, I want to talk to you about that commentary you had on that train wreck. I said, I didn't do a commentary on train wreck. Yeah, you did, about that train wreck down in Sons. I said, that was a news story, not a commentary. I mean, so the public itself gets confused. But when you add in this state-controlled media, as I'm calling them now, doing what they want and ignoring facts for the benefit of a political candidate, as they were because the laptop broke right before Biden's election, that was clearly contrived.
Right, but I think the public, and I think especially journalists, need to recognize and admit that there is bias in every decision that a journalist makes. And I'll give an example of that. James Comey published his book on the same day that President Donald Trump launched airstrikes on Syria. Now, as a journalist, do you devote airtime to James Comey's book, or do you devote airtime to the airstrikes in Syria?
Yeah.
You know, that's a bias that a journalist makes. It comes down to the story choices that they choose to pursue. And it comes down to even the word choice. And so
You're right.
And so this Hunter Biden laptop, it really is a scandal for the media, because it really just illustrates the corruption of our media that claims to write with an objectivity and a truth-seeking purpose, when in fact they went out of their way and colluded with big tech elites to suppress these blockbuster stories that were implicating then-candidate Joe Biden and his son's potentially criminal overseas business activity, and that itself is a scandal.
Yeah, and to that extent, I mean, they wouldn't even let the New York Post use its own Facebook and Twitter account to promote their own story. And you are correct. I mean, I've told audiences over the decades that a decision is made at every level that could be considered a slant. You're not trying to, but it could be an inadvertent. I mean, we're going to send our best reporter on the story or one of our new reporters? We're going to send the best photographer or the worst? And then are we going to give it 30 seconds or are we going to give it a minute and a half? I mean, decisions are made all along that some folks will say that's biased. But if you're trying to be factual, and you can't always balance every story equally in each newscast, for instance, on abortion, you can't do that equally every time because you're covering an anti-abortion rally. You could maybe get a quote from one of the other sides, but it's not, quote, balanced enough for them. But what I got, and this, I'm glad you included it, you pointed out, as you call them, national propaganda radio. I love that. State-funded NPR. Now, NPR can do some very good, solid reporting. I've heard it. But they also announced just days after the laptop came out, why aren't you coming? And as you noted here, the editor said, we don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the NPR example because that's exactly what I was going to reference because that's one of my favorite examples from the Hunter Biden laptop. What we have here is an explicitly state-funded media operation coming out and saying that we are not going to waste our time with something that is not a story, on something that was clearly the biggest story of the entire 2020 election and possibly Biden's presidency if we ever get down to the bottom of this president's family's business deals overseas all over the place. I mean, it really warrants a special counsel. I have a piece out in the Federalist this morning highlighting how this really warrants a special counsel to investigate after Democrats landed a special counsel under Donald Trump investigating what was a conspiracy theory. There is far more evidence here to warrant a special counsel under this scandal than there ever was for the Russiagate hoax. I mean, what we have here is we have a laptop with a treasure trove of emails and documents implicating this president in his son's overseas business activities, who was stood to personally make a profit from overseas leaders. And we have on the record testimony from credible people who worked with the Biden family making claims that this president is compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. So even if there was nothing there, and I think there is, far more warrants a special counsel investigation than ever was warranted under
President
Trump.
And it's definitely a story. I mean, that's I remember when the Pope went to Latin America for the first time, and all the network anchors went down there, and that was the day that the Monica Lewinsky story broke. And I told our news director that we've got to lead with this story. This is historical. And he said, well, so is the Pope going to Mexico. I said, but that story will disappear overnight in the face. And, of course, every news anchor, including Rather and others who got sent to Mexico, had to be there because they were already there. But then they immediately pitched to New York for the story on Clinton and the Lewinsky story. And then the next day they were all back in their anchor chairs. And there was very little coverage of the Pope from that point forward.
Right, yeah. In the Hunter Biden story, again, the biggest story of the 2020 election, possibly the Biden presidency, if more and more comes out. And I do want to be clear with the audience, too. The Hunter Biden story only came into the news cycle again this week because the New York Times, 18 months later, finally admitted the authenticity of the laptop. There was no grand new revelation to come from the laptop this week. The only new revelation was that the legacy media finally conceded that this laptop was real and authentic and not just some part of Russian disinformation campaign. What changed the last 18 months? Well, Biden's approval rating and the fact that he's already in the White House. So really nothing's changed. We knew before the election that this was not Russian disinformation. We had rare on-the-record statements from nearly every government intelligence agency discrediting the idea it was Russian disinformation, but yet the media ran with the Democrat talking points to get the preferred candidate in the White House.
Tristan Justice with the Federalist, Washington Examiner, Daily Signal, as always, we appreciate it. And I'll add, as we close out, former CIA directors and acting directors all said it was a false story anyway about the laptop. Thanks again, Tristan. We'll do it again. Coming up, a Disney movie coming out that's timed just perfect if you're a communist. Is it? Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Florida Governor DeSantis said, I'm issuing a proclamation. I'm going to acknowledge that the runner-up in a recent NCAA women's 500 freestyle swimming event was not transgender Leah Thomas. My proclamation says that Emma Wyant is the winner. She's a Florida native attending the University of Virginia. She lost to the transgender by just under 2 seconds in the 500-yard freestyle event. And Governor DeSantis says this is what happens when you allow the NCAA to allow basically men to compete in women's sports. So I'm deciding the number one woman who finished was from Sarasota. Good. I'm glad he's doing that. It won't change things. Not at this point. And then yet the Disney CEO is trying to apologize to his company and his employees because they were very upset that Disney didn't take a stronger stance against the Florida's parental rights and education bill, which critics call don't say gay bill. It says nothing like that at all. It just talks about consent of parents and reading materials and things of that nature. But the left doesn't care about the facts. They just care about the cause. And the Disney CEO got caught right in the center of it. So he finally had to come out because his employees were going to do a day-long strike. So he stated, we know the moment requires urgency. Words are not enough. So we're taking actions right now. So we're going to release a statement of apology. And we're going to have more apologies in the future. And we're establishing an LGBTQ task force. On and on and on. 3 days later, he had to apologize again in a letter. All of that, and his folks still walked out. But he was groveling, saying, we were wrong, and from now on, my bad. I should have taken a stronger stance. I should have had a bigger impact for you. I let you down, and I am sorry. So Disney has out a new movie that's streaming. I've got some very interesting thoughts about this. And it comes, I think I might join the woke culture over this issue. Hear me out. Don't say, that's it, I'm done with Connors, turning him off. Now, give me a second here. This new movie being streamed exclusively on Disney is titled Turning Red. Turning Red. It introduces, as Disney describes it, a confident, dorky teenager torn between her mother's dutiful daughter, or staying her mother's dutiful daughter, dutiful, not beautiful, dutiful, in other words, obeying, and the chaos of adolescence, and that her protective, if not slightly overbearing mother, is never far from her daughter. An unfortunate reality for the teenager, and as if changes to her interests, relationships, and body, because she might be transgender, she's, I guess, trying to find out. Whenever she gets too excited, she poofs into a giant red panda. All right, there it is. That's it. That's the break point for me. You're going to have, in the day of Russia and China and what's happening in Ukraine, you're going to be promoting a movie called Turning Red. They do know that red refers to communists, right? Or did they know it and thought, oh, this would play perfectly in China? Because Disney wants to make money. Why not say Turning Red? Well, Larry, you couldn't say turning black. You can't say turning white. Oh, so you can say turning red, as in red skin. Oh, you mean like the Washington Redskins. I thought that was offensive. Well, yeah, they did. They changed that name. Okay. All right. So help me out, woke culture. Are you going to accept turning red as not being offensive in some way or another? What if it offends me? You, just because I get angry, you say I turn red. I don't either. I'm still the same color. You're just saying that. You are offending me. Where does it stop? It stops with you, and it stops with me. And it stops with us standing up against this stupid woke culture that exists all the time lately anyway. In this case, Disney thinks, oh, it was fine. They may well decide, probably should have just named it something else or scrap it entirely. I don't think you'll bother watching it anyway. As always, I thank you for listening. Let your friends and neighbors know. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.